5-6 to 1, come in.
1-5-6, go ahead.
5-6, we'll be code 6 at 2913 Belmont View Road.
Check 5-6, code 6, 2913 Belmont View Road, 6:28 p.m.
This is Don Reed. I'm a police recorder working for this detective unit, and we just reported code 6, which means we're out for investigation. Incidentally, this is in regards to narcotics. We'll be going in shortly, but I just want to remind you that these people are not actors. This is the real thing. This is what happens on the night watch.
Night watch. The actual on-the-scene report of your police force in action. There are no actors. There is no script. Every voice, every sound is authentic. The investigations are recorded as they actually occur. Night Watch, presented with the cooperation of the Police Department of Culver City, California. W.N. Hildebrand, Chief. And now we switch you back to police recorder Don Reed.
We're on a narcotic investigation and located in a private home with Sergeant Perkins and Detective Waller.
Are you the lady that got this?
Another? Questioning a young lady who telephoned the station and reported that she had been given a marijuana cigarette. Now, let's move in and find out why.
Is that what it is?
Well, I don't know. We'll have to take this apart. It's a regular cigarette. You got a piece of paper I can empty this apart, take a look inside. What they've done, they have a marijuana cigarette inside of the regular cigarette. It's very cleverly concealed on the inside. There's fragments of marijuana in the cigarette. And this is what they call a reefer, this little brown cigarette. It's very small in comparison. You can see the green marijuana leaf inside of it. How did you get around to getting this?
I work in where the machines are, but the one that this comes from works in a warehouse. It's a boy. And sometimes I go over there and work. And it's been about 3 weeks ago I worked over there, and he gave this other girl one. She smoked it. She told me not to tell that he'd give it to her, and he went outside and smoked one. So I never said anything about it. So today, I didn't feel too good today anyways, up all night. And I was shaking my head like this, and he was doped up or something all day, and he passed by and he said, I can give you something to cure your head up. I said, okay. I said, laying over recess. He said, okay. So when he come back over, he handed me that. And I said, do you know what it is? I said, yeah, I know what it is. He says, smoke it. I said, okay, I will. I said, but I can't smoke it in here. He says, go outside and smoke it. I said, okay. So he thought I smoked it, but I didn't. I put it in my pocket. I said, I feel like the last rose or summer. He said, well, come over. He says, I've got the rest of it for you. I said, you come over and eat lunch with me. I said, no, I have to eat over here.
Do you know of anyone else that smokes
just that girl. And he'd give her one. He'd give her two. But it's about 2 weeks ago.
Have you ever seen him smoking any? You seen him smoking some?
He goes to the front door and smokes over in the warehouse.
Did he offer to supply you with any or sell you any?
Today's the first day. And he was really loaded up with something. Today's the first day. He kept smarting off at me. He always has smarted off at me. And he said, I'll give you something to help that, he said. I said, okay, I just kept leading him on.
When he gave this to you, the marijuana cigarette was inside of the regular cigarette, but in the cigarette itself.
Mm-hmm.
And when he gave it to you, did he take it out of his pocket, or did he just...
He just took his cigarettes like this.
It was in his pocket.
Took it out. And I laid my lap and stuck it in my pocket.
And you know that he's given this other girl.
She told me not to tell him that... If he'd give it to her. I don't think she don't act funny.
Is today the first time that he has talked to you about marijuana at all or said anything about it? He's never approached you before.
But the girl, she didn't care. She says, just don't tell him that he'd give it to her.
I see. Does he drive a car, you know?
No. I'm scared of him.
He's not going to give any trouble.
No.
What we'll do, we'll pick him up. And if we can find some marijuana on him, why, that's all we need. And we appreciate very much your cooperation. This is something we don't want to be permitted to continue. Marijuana just is bad enough in itself, but it leads to a lot worse things than just that. Okay? Fine. Thank you very much. Good night.
Looks like it's the real stuff, huh, Sergeant?
Yeah, there's not much doubt about that. Well, we'll call the night office over the factory and get his address and go over and pick him up.
We're moving into the area of the suspect's home now. Checking the houses. Should be the next one on the right-hand side.
It's that white one over there. Tell you what, Kurt, let's go past the place and drive around the back and check out the back entrance.
Oh, he circled a corner. We'll swing around, check out the back side of the house. Making a turn. It's a very short little blocks in here. Now we're around where we can get a good look at it. Appears to be just an ordinary frame house. Just one back entrance. And it'll be easy to cover. This sort of gives us an idea of the location of things in case any trouble should develop. Now we'll swing around one more corner and be on the right street. Here we go. In any narcotics investigation, you have to move with a great deal of rapidity so that the suspect doesn't have a chance to dispose of any evidence.
We go down, you'll take him around in back of the apartment. I'll take him front. Check the back. Back exit and see if you can look in the windows. We'll park about a half a block away. The
house is just up ahead, a couple hundred feet. We'll pull right in behind these parked cars here and walk the rest of the way. Detective Walter across the lawn to the back. We'll go up to the front door. Windows are open. Woman, possibly suspect's wife inside. Two young children playing on the divan. The suspect is sitting in a chair. Well-groomed, average height, very calm.
Want to talk to you?
Walter? How many times have you been arrested?
About six.
About six times?
Yes.
What for?
Grand theft.
For what?
Grand theft auto.
Grand theft auto?
Yes.
What else?
That's all.
That's all?
Yes.
You've been arrested for armed robbery?
No, sir.
Been picked up on suspicion of armed robbery?
Yes, sir.
You were arrested then, weren't you?
No, sir.
You booked?
Yes, sir. It was only for suspicion.
Yeah, what I mean is an arrest, right?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
You have any objection to our looking around through your house?
Of course not.
I want to look you over just a little bit first, if we may. Check through your pockets here. You know what we're looking for?
Well, from the looks of what you're buying there, it looks like you're looking for narcotics.
How about it?
You mean, do I have any?
Yes.
Never touch it.
Well, now, we know differently. Now,
I haven't any.
You had some.
I never have it. Never use it.
We know differently.
Well, you can look all over the house. I don't have any.
Well, we're going to room. I just start from one room right through the other.
Okay.
I don't want to find that you're lying to me.
The suspect's wife.
Is that right?
Yes.
Curious. Coming over.
Do you know why we're down here?
No, I don't.
Any idea?
No.
How many children do you have?
Two.
Mm-hmm. How old are they?
One's four and one's 11 months. 4 years and 11 months.
Here's the situation. We believe your husband is in possession of and using narcotics. Do you know anything about it?
No, I don't. I'm almost positive he hasn't, because I've never seen him. He doesn't act like it.
You never mentioned anything about it?
No.
Kurt, you start shaking the bathroom down. We're going to look over the bedroom.
Searching the house for better than a quarter of an hour. Sergeant Perkins and the suspect are in a little closet looking through some clothing. Pretty tight quarters here. Let's see if we can move right on in.
So far in two of your jackets, I found marijuana flake.
things.
Well, if you have,
if you you want me to tell you how you carry your marijuana cigarettes?
Well, I don't carry it.
You don't?
No, sir.
I'll tell you how you carry them.
I don't carry
them. You put them inside of one of the cigarettes so that the top of the cigarette shows from the top of the package.
Well,
you made a couple of bad mistakes. You've given some cigarettes out.
I don't. I never. I haven't used any marijuana. I don't deal in it. I don't use it. I don't smoke it.
How did this marijuana get in your pockets, then?
Well, I haven't the slightest idea. If you found some, it's beyond my knowledge.
Anybody else wear these coats?
Well, shirts? Occasionally, but not too much. My brother-in-law and another brother-in-law stays here with me.
How about this this coat here? Who wore this last?
I did. I wore it yesterday.
How about that pink shirt we had a few minutes ago?
Well, that's a new shirt. I just got there.
No one else wore it but you?
No, sir.
All right, no need for nothing.
Well, I don't see how. I just got it. I only wore it three times.
Give it to you brand new.
I had it made.
You got it made?
Yes, sir.
No one else wore it?
No, sir.
Has it been washed? Watered since you got it?
Yes. Detective Walter, coming in from the other room.
The only reason you came down here is you want to see just how bad you are on it. And I want to know what your source of supply is.
Well, I don't have any source. I don't use it.
Well, we know better than that. No use trying to.
Well, you have to prove
that. No use trying to fool it.
I don't use it at all. You can prove it if you think you can. But
Well, we don't.
I mean, that's
think
true.
We can.
Well, okay, that's
we
your
know
job.
We can, and when we leave here, you're going with it.
Going with you?
Yeah. You're going to be arrested for narcotics.
No, I just have to get my clothes on and go.
Well, because somebody says that he's been using it doesn't always mean that he's been using it.
Did you want to talk to him a few minutes before we take him in?
Can I get the check cashed before he goes? Because I can't cash it.
Company check?
Yeah.
Well, we can make arrangements for that. Sure.
That finishes our business here. Suspect in custody. So, let's head back now for police headquarters. We're located here at headquarters with Sergeant Perkins and Detective Walter questioning the suspect regarding his use and possession of marijuana. So far, he's denied any knowledge of the case. We've been here for, just about an hour. Now, the suspect is slumped in the chair, appears undisturbed, confident.
I'm going to show you something.
Unwrapping the evidence. No facial reaction from the suspect.
This is a cigarette that you gave to somebody. We cut it apart. Part of the reefer, the marijuana, is down here at the bottom. It was put inside of the cigarette and the end was twisted. I came out of a package in your pocket. That's part of our evidence.
It's my brand, but it couldn't come from me. It
came out of your pocket. When's the last time you smoked marijuana?
Well, I haven't smoked. I've never smoked any marijuana.
Never in your life?
Never have. I never smoked one in my life.
You were being arrested on violation of the State Narcotics Act.
I don't have any, you know. I haven't.
You had some.
You got some out of my house or something like that? There wasn't any in my house. I haven't ever had it.
Well, the police that we took out of your coach will send out the crime lab for analysis, but I'm talking about that you had some in your pocket, at which you gave to another party.
I didn't. I still say I did not, so I'll say from now on because I haven't.
Well, why do you suppose somebody would come to us and tell us that?
You mean somebody told you that?
That's right.
To the best of my knowledge, I'm telling you the truth. That's all I can tell you, sir. That's what I know. What I know. I can't change it to tell a lie.
We're no different. Maybe you'd like to hear some proof. Don?
Yeah, right away.
Okay, sir.
Ready? Now, here's a little tape recording we took. I want you to listen to it.
I've been in where the machines are, but the one that this come from works in a warehouse. It's a boy. And sometimes I go over there and work. And when it's been about 3 weeks ago, I worked over there, and he gave this other girl one. She smoked it. She told me not to tell that he'd give it to her, and he went outside and smoked one. So I never said anything about it. So today,
watching the suspect's face.
I don't know what he did today, anyways, up all night.
lips tight, staring at the wall. Only movement, his right hand, fingers digging into his pant leg.
He said, okay, so when he come back over, why he hand me that? And he said, you know what it is? And I said, yeah, I know what it is. He says, smoke it. And I said, okay, I will. I said, but I can't smoke it in here. He says, go outside and smoke it. I said, okay. So he thought I smoked it, but I didn't. I put it in my pocket, and I said, I feel like the last
one. That's it, Don, that's enough.
He says, I got the rest of it for you.
Now, do you still deny that you had marijuana?
Well, I've smoked it, you know, taking a draw off of it. Okay, now I'm beginning to believe you.
Did you give somebody there at the plant a marijuana cigarette?
Yes, sir.
Did you smoke the first half of it yourself?
Yes, sir.
How many would you say in the past 3 months have you obtained approximately?
Not over four.
Not over four?
Yes, sir.
Did you smoke those yourself, or did you give them away?
No, sir. I'd say that I smoked them myself.
What kind of a feeling did you get out of smoking them?
Made me high. I don't know what you would say high is, but it made me... It seemed like I thought a lot of something. I thought more than I would when I was at normal.
What do you think about smoking marijuana now? You think it was worth it?
Definitely not.
All right, Walter, will you take him on back, please?
Okay, sir.
Well, Don, what do you think? I'm mighty happy about this, but I'll be honest with you.
Well, you should be. It's your tape recorder that cracked the case.
Yeah.
You are listening to Night Watch, and following the activities of a detective unit on their tour of duty. The people you hear are not actors. Every voice, every sound is real. Investigations are recorded as they actually occur. We will give you the final results of tonight's cases at the conclusion of The Night Watch. Show a profit on your patriotism. Buy United States savings bonds. Buy them regularly at your bank or where you work through the payroll savings plan. If you're looking for an investment, what better investment can you make than one that makes your country secure? Buy United States savings bonds, paying 3% interest when held to maturity, and show a profit on your patriotism. And now we switch you back to Detective Unit 5-6, now on patrol in the field, and to Police Recorder Don Reed.
We've been back in service for over an hour, and just a moment ago, all units on our frequency were ordered to stand by, possibly have a hot
call. Attention all units. All units in the vicinity in cars 5-2 and 5-6. At 1022 Rosemont Way, that's 1022 Rosemont Way, investigate a shooting. Ambulance follow-up, 5-6, your call is code 3.
5-6, 10-4.
Shooting. That could mean a lot of things. Still going on. Maybe it's over with. There's our siren. We just cut it in. Somebody's already hurt, that much we know. Ambulance is dispatched. Rolling code 3 with that siren is not exactly my idea of how to spend a relaxing evening. I have a lot of company on that score. Our safety on this kind of a deal is based primarily on the motorist ahead. Coming up to a large intersection, now you can hear that full treatment on the siren. A couple of blocks more and we'll be on the scene of the shooting. Swinging in. The motel. Crowd gathering. Must be the end room. Looking across the room as we enter, there's a man lying on the floor in a pool of blood. The officers are moving in now from both sides, and he is completely spattered with blood, wearing a white T-shirt. You probably hear more police vehicles rolling in and behind us. There is what appears to be a .38 laying on the bed. Now, Let's talk to this young lady over here. The officers are questioning her. We'll determine just how this happened.
Is he living here alone?
And the kid's old boy was with him, but he brought him down to our house. He sent him away for 6 weeks, see? Said he knew his daddy hadn't been eating and something was worrying him. He said, I wish he was here. I'm a nurse. He said he'd give anything if I was here, that he was in so much pain he just couldn't stand it any longer.
Has he been sick sometimes?
He's a veteran with a plate in his head. He was crying and screaming over the phone with his head.
When you arrived here, is this where he was when you got here?
He was on the bed and he staggered over to the door and let us in and said, please forgive me, and then he dropped.
Was he already shot then?
Yeah, he was shot over here and walked over to the door.
Did you hear the shot?
Mm-hmm.
Where were you?
We were right outside the door here. And so we went right and got the landlord then because we knew, you know, that he had either taken sleeping pills or something had happened. And then just as he heard us walking right outside the door, he shot himself.
You heard one shot, did you?
One shot was
out. When he called you, did he threaten to commit suicide?
No, he did on the phone, but not
what
here.
What did he say on the phone?
He says, I asked him if he'd like me to see if I couldn't come up here and help him. He says, no. He said, by the time you get here, it'll be too late. He says, I'm going to give myself a shot.
Excuse me,
yes, sir, but I think we better get a hold of the coroner.
Yes, I think we better notify the coroner. You have to have a doctor to pronounce him.
Yeah. Notify the district attorney, the coroner, and the doctor.
Well, if you'll stand by a few minutes, please, and we'll talk
this
a little bit.
This is his second attempt in 2 years. We got him in time the first time, but this time we didn't.
What did he try to do the second time?
He took 50 sleeping pills.
50 sleeping pills?
In Compton, and they have all his records there.
Compton Police Department, mm-hmm. Have it there. All right, fine. If you'll stand by a few minutes, boys, please. Thank you.
Is this man dead? Do you know, sir?
Well, he apparently is dead. We called the coroner and a doctor and... the ambulance is also on its way.
You find any pulse, Bill?
No pulse and no reaction at all, though, Lieutenant.
The manager's outside. I'm going to talk to him in a few minutes.
Okay. Manager and his wife standing outside of the door. Both appear highly nervous. Beads of perspiration standing out on his forehead.
Does he live alone there, does he?
No, with his son. With his son. How old is the son?
Well, did he say anything to you about this earlier tonight, today? Was he despondent? I understand he's been in ill health. Is that correct?
Well, I understand that the young lady told me that he has a plate on his head and has these terrific pains in his head. So he said he just couldn't stand it any longer.
Okay, fine. Well, thank you very much, and we may have...
Let's go over now and talk to Lieutenant Lugo for just a moment. See if there's any further information on this.
Lieutenant.
Yes, sir.
I'm looking over at the victim here. Apparently he has been shot in the heart. Is that your observation, sir?
Yes, just right at the left part of the chest.
Mm-hmm.
And
is that a wound on the arm, or is it my imagination? Is it simply that claret has flown there?
Well, it appears like a wound, but I don't believe it is. I think it's just blood that's settled there.
I see. Well, in other words, our next move now is to wait for the coroner to, a doctor, rather, to determine whether the victim is officially dead. Is that correct, sir?
That's correct. The doctor will determine that in just a moment.
Don, you want to go over with me? The doctor just arrived.
Yeah. Okay, sir. Right behind you.
Is this near the heart area? Is that...
Oh, yeah,
it could have gone through. It depends which way you aim. You probably hit some of the big vessels.
And he is dead. Yeah. Thank you, Doctor.
Well, that apparently eliminates any possibility other than suicide, right?
That's what it looks like at the present time, Don. I've got a letter here. It's marked to whom it may concern. Let's go into the room and look at it.
Okay.
Let's see. Dear son, your mother is somewhere in the East. I believe in Boston. I'm not sure. Thanks for being such a good boy. All the papers and insurance is in the trunk, and you know where to find them. My head is killing me, and I can't go on. Forgive me, son. I didn't want it to end this way. Go on and be the doctor you've always wanted to be. Maybe you can help someone who is suffering like your dad. I have always loved you, your dad. P.S. Please don't let this throw you.
That's a pretty tough assignment for a kid.
Yeah.
You've been listening to an actual case of your police force in action on The Night Watch. This investigation was recorded as it happened. And now back to police headquarters and Chief W.N. Hildebrand.
Tonight's narcotic investigation proves what I have said on this program many times before. Your police department must depend on the eyes and ears of the citizen. When the witness made known her suspicions that the suspect possessed marijuana, this started the ball rolling with the final result, which you heard. Tonight's case differed in another respect, inasmuch as it was the tape-recorded testimony of the witness that finally broke the suspect and led to his confession. Our department, like every other law enforcement agency in the country, is trying to stamp out the deadly use of narcotics. The extent of our success is based on you, the citizen, and your cooperation. The suspect in tonight's investigation was booked 11-502 of the Health and Safety Code, the maximum penalty of which is imprisonment in the state prison, not to exceed 10 years. The final case on Night Watch in which a man died of gunshot wounds, the officers submitted a report stating all evidence pointed to suicide. A follow-up investigation by Lieutenant Bob Conlon of the Detective Bureau confirmed this report, and it was entered into the records as such. My department is bringing you the actual happenings on the Night Watch so that you may hear firsthand the important role the citizen plays in maintaining an efficient police department. It is our hope to tighten this cooperation, then our efforts will be well rewarded in bringing you Night Watch.
Thank you, Chief Hildebrand. You have just heard on-the-scene reports of your police force in action. Every voice, every sound has been real. Night Watch is brought to you through the cooperation of the Police Department of Culver City, California, and is produced by Sterling Tracy and Jim Headlock, with technical advice by Sergeant Ron Perkins, and is described in the field by police recorder Don Reed.